was discussing several topics. One of the topics was whether dam is bechlal basar or dam is not bechlal basar. Whenever the Torah has a din regarding basar, does it include dam or not? So the first 10 lines says this was working on the assumption that dam is bechlal basar. Then the last two lines they show from the Gemara Mishpachim that that's not correct, that we assume that dam is not bechlal basar. Then he gets stuck with a kasha from the dam of the Shmein HaShuatzim. You have a pasuk to indicate that dam of the Shmein HaShuatzim is mitame, the Tosfos has the kasha, but the butter of the Shmein HaShuatzim is only mitame if you have kadasha. So the dam, you should require a conversion over here. You should say that you need three times as much dam as basar, parallel to dam nevela. That there was a machlekes b'shamay b'silu in the Mishnah in Eidias, because shamay hold that dam nevela is not mitame, and Basilil holds no, that Dam Nevela is Matame. So he says, how do they know Dam Nevela is Matame? There must be a Pasuk somewhere or another. Taisus isn't familiar where the Pasuk is. That's why some are trying to say there just ain't no Pasuk and it's only Midirabban. It's a Chumar Midirabban. But Taisus assumed there was a Pasuk. And even though you have a Pasuk, the Pasuk only tells you that Dam is also Matame, but you have to convert it. So since Arvi is Dam, if it would congeal, it would solidify, it would convert to become Akazayas, which according to Men Rishonim is one third the size. Revis is a beit zomach, the volume of an egg and a half, and a kazayis, according to many Rishonim, is either chatzi zayis or shlish zayis. Chatzi beit zomach or shlish beit zomach. Revis is a beit zomach, and a kazayis is either chatzi beit zomach or shlish beit zomach. So let's say, make it easier if it's a chatzi beit zomach. So revis is three times the size of a kazayis. So you need three times as much dam as you need basar. That's a Gemara in Shabbos. That's what Tosfos is quoting. Gemara in Shabbos. Within Beis Hillel, so why don't we say the same regarding Sheretz? Why don't we need three times the volume of Kadasha? Why does Halacha say that the dam and the basar are mitzar from the Yachad? Because the dam is Kadasha and the basar is Kadasha. So Tosfos ends off with a Kasha, they didn't have a Teretz. So the last thing we mentioned yesterday was a suggestion that maybe on this issue that Tosfos debated from the beginning of the Tosfos, the first 10 lines, the last 10, two lines, whether dam is bechlal basar or not, and Tosfos came to the conclusion based on the Gemara Mishpachim, dam is not included in basar. Maybe that's only by behema chayviyoy, where the Torah declares that dam is has an isa karis, dam achalak mipsar. That's the lashon Gemara, dam achalak mipsar. But by shiratim v'dogim v'chagovim, where there's no isa of dam, the Torah doesn't single out that the dam is different from the basar. You don't have to salt the fish before you eat it in order to remove the dam. You can eat the fish with the dam. But since there is no din of dam, so it says, and the Mishnah uses an expression, sedomo, is not chaluk mibisar. It's not declared. The Torah never declared it as something separate. So if it's not separate, then automatically dam is bechlal basar. So I would have known on my own that dam of the Shmein HaShvatim is metame. So why do you need a pasuk to be marve? So it must be the pasuk tells you that you don't have to have three times as much dam. The pasuk tells you that a kadasha of dam is enough. That was the suggestion that I made yesterday. I mentioned that with that, I didn't, that's the last things I didn't mention, that with that suggestion, one can answer Tosfos Kasha in Ksubas and in Shabbos. Tosfos goes with Shitosim. Tosfos does not make the distinction between Dam, Behema, Chayiv, Yosef, which the Torah singles out as having this Dam, as opposed to Tam Dogim, Chagovim, Meshrotzim, Ramasim, that the Torah doesn't single out as having a separate din. Tosfos does not make that distinction. So Tosfos has like this. There is a Gemara in Shabbos that says that if you cause a chabura, if you harm an animal and he starts bleeding, so there's some kind of a malacha or another. So there's a big discussion in the Rishonim. What exactly is the malacha? So Tosfos' opinion is that the malacha, Tosfos says, and that's what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Tosfos' opinion is that it's the malacha of Netilas Neshama. Why is it the Tilas Neshama, but the organism is still alive? The Tilas Neshama means when I shoot the animal, I kill a person, I kill an animal. But if the animal is still alive, what kind of Tilas Neshama? The Tosfos quotes a pasuk, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. The Chumash says that the blood circulation is what keeps the organism alive. And if you take out some blood, it's Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. The dam is called Nefesh. So if you take out some of the blood, that's called the Tilas Neshama. Either animal still continues to live. So Tosfos quotes an expression from the Gemara in Nida which is in this context. In this context, the Gemara has it. Malikot lekula, malikot lepalva. What's the difference whether you killed, whether you bleed the whole animal to death and it drops dead fully, or you took out a little bit of blood? It's also called Nitzilus Neshamim because ki adam hu hanefesh. That's how Tosfos learns. The Rambam does not learn like that. The Rambam learns that if you cause an animal to bleed, and the Gemara says that it's malacha derashu and malacha disha, like squeezing out grape juice from the grapes, or squeezing out olive oil from the olives, that's a malacha abdisha. So this is a told abdisha. That's how the Rambam learned. Other Rishonim have different shots, but that's what Tosfos learns, and that's what it says in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says exactly what Tosfos says. So there is a Gemara in Shabbos, that's a Tosfos in Ksubis on Daf Hei Amud Beis, as well as a Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, and in other places. Tosfos repeats their opinion in several Mesichtos. So there is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes a Tosefta from Masechet Shabbos. What if you have a chalazon and you squeeze out the tchelos? Chalazon is some kind of a fish. Let's make believe it's a fish. And you squeeze out the tchelos. That's a machlokes amarayim, whether there is an iser, is there an iser disha or not? Is there an iser disha? Disha is when you squeeze out. The real disha is a totally different thing. When you detach the oichel from the psoilus, the stuff grows from the ground, the kernels are grain, and they're covered with all kind of fuzz. So when you detach the psoilus from the oichel, which grows naturally together, that's a malach abdisha. Then when you separate it, let's say I have a box full of the stuff and I shake it, I zets it like this, so it's going to cause all of the stuff to disconnect, to fall apart. Everything will all be mixed in together, but it's going to be detached from each other, whereas it grew together, the oichel with the psoilus, now I detach it. So that's the original disha. And then the Gemara says the told of disha is whenever you have to, if you have a loaf of bread and you slice the loaf of bread in half, that's not called the disha. The Gemara says that's you're separating this half of the loaf of bread from the other half of the loaf of bread. The Gemara says uchla difersu, you're separating oichel from oichel. But if you detach oichel from solas, or if you detach mashke from oichel, if you squeeze out the grapes, so what's left behind is oichel, and what you squeeze out is a mashke. If you detach mashke from, or if you squeeze out liquid from a sponge, you're squeezing out liquid, so they're two different things. Two different things. That's not called the. Let's say I have a bottle of soda and I pour out half the bottle and I leave half the bottle, so I'm going to say disha, because I separated this half of the bottle from the other half of the bottle. So that's mashka and that's mashka. If I slice a loaf of bread, so the Gemara says, uchla diifras. I'm separating ochel from ochel, so that's all the same thing. But if you have two different things, if you have ochel and solas that are connected, or if you have ochel and mashka that are connected, or if you have a sponge and mashka that are connected, there it's not naturally connected, there it's artificially connected. The sponge has something, so Taisa says, that may play a role, that may cause that it's only the Rabbanon. So if you have two different things that are connected, and then you detach the connection, so that's a toldav disha. The original disha is separating the psolos from the ochel, the way it grew together, and the others are toldav disha. So the Gemara has a discussion here, is this a violation of disha or not? When you squeeze out the dam from the chalazon, is that a violation of disha? When you squeeze out the tchelos from the chalazon. So Taisa asks Akasha, what are they hacking about disha? What happened to the Nitzilus Neshama? We wrote all over in Shas that Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, Tosfos discovered that pasuk. Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, that the blood circulation keeps the animal alive. And the Torah declares that every drop of blood is labeled as Nefesh. So if you squeeze out a little bit of blood, it's Nitzilus Neshama. Nefesh, Neshama, same thing for these purposes. So if you squeeze out blood, it's Malikot Lekula, Malikot Hepalgo. So let it be a violation of disha, let it be a violation of Nitzilus Neshama. What is the Gemara only hacking? The Gemara quotes a Tosefta where they're only concentrating on disha. Forget about the disha story, let it be Nitzilus Neshama. So Tosfos answers, and the answer is in Metzius, the answer it corresponds to reality, that the tcheles is not, you don't squeeze out the blood from this sea animal. They say it's not a fish. A chalazon is a shelled animal. Okay, as the Rashi and Chumash quotes in the Midrash, chalazon means an animal that has a shell. When the animal gets bigger, so the shell grows with it. That's how Rashi says. When they saw them in the Midbar for 40 years, and those are left Mitzrayim, and they were little babies, so they had on the begadim. So where did they get the begadim to wear when they were 40 years old? They're wearing the same diapers. So the Rashi quotes in Midrash, the bolus al masechem yalechem, your clothing didn't wear off. What does it help? It didn't wear off. So the 4 year old is still wearing the little diapers that he was. Not going to fit. How are you going to walk around with diapers? So Rashi quotes in Medrash, just like a halazon, when it grows, a turtle or any other shelled animal, when it grows, so how does it gets bigger and bigger. So how does it remain in that little tiny shell? The shell grows along with it. So the shell gets bigger so the animal can fit. So Tov and Eisol in the Midbar, and that's occurred, and the Begadim got bigger and bigger as the little babies grew up. So the Begadim got bigger. So it would appear, that's what it says in the dictionary, that the word Kalos means a shelled animal. It doesn't mean a fish, it means a shellfish. Okay. So they discovered the shellfish, and then they said that the Tcheles is not so much the blood that circulates that keeps it alive. The Tcheles is some kind of a secretion that's collected over there in one part of the body. It has nothing to do with the blood. That's what Tosfos says. The Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan who makes that suggestion, and they said that it corresponds to reality. That the chalas that they used to die with 2,000-3,000 years ago that comes from this chalazon is not from the blood, it's from a separate part of the body that collects this liquid. Okay? So Zarok the whole kasha. But Tosfos in the Habamina, when Tosfos was asking the kasha, they were equating all animals. They thought that all animals are the same. They thought that this chalazon is a fish or some kind of a sea animal. And they were working on the assumption that we should that the ki adam ha'nefesh applies to the fish as well, applies to all animals. So if you say my suggestion to farem for Tosfos kasha, Tosfos obviously does not like my suggestion. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a kasha on davdalad and manalah. But I made a suggestion to answer the kasha on Tosfos' last line that they left aval kasha on the last line of Tosfos. I made a suggestion that maybe this halacha that we see from the gemara m'sachem dav chabeis, that dam is not the chlal basa. Maybe that's only by behemah chayviyah, where the Torah singles out the dam and says dam achalak mimsadat is an isa dam. So the halacha of dam causes it to be distinguished from the basa. But on fish, where there's no such halacha, that there's an isa dam. So maybe there you don't say ki adam hu anefesh either. Just like you don't apply the din of dam is not the chlal basa. By dogim achagov and mishkatz minamotim, you say dam is the chlal basa. So maybe the special halacha ki adam hu anefesh in mitzias, the blood circulation keeps the fish alive also, like it keeps the people alive too. Then maybe the halachic statement of the chumash ki adam hu anefesh and it's called mitzias neshama, maybe that only applies to behema chay v'yoyif, where the dam is cholos mibsara in halacha. Maybe on the other animals where the halacha doesn't distinguish between the dam and the basa, and dam is b'chol basa, so maybe the other halacha ki adam hu anefesh also doesn't apply. Maybe. Tosfos asked the kasha and they didn't give this answer. So obviously Tosfos goes with Shitasim here. They don't hold for my distinction. So it could be that if the distinction is correct, answer the kasha here. So it could be that this distinction is correct, answer the kasha there as well.
Does the Gemara say Chayvo by Sheretz?
Chayvo, yeah. I mean by Moitzi Dam. So you see that you do say Ki Adam Hu Anefesh. It could be it's wrong. Okay, got to take a look. The Mishnah, you mean? The Mishnah says that there is chayvo. I'm not 100% sure. Probably does say. Okay, so then it's wrong. Then it's wrong. Okay. Got to check. And Perek Shmoneh Shasim. Take a look if it says. Sounds vaguely familiar. Okay. Okay. I'm supposed to take attendance once in a while. Eric Siskin is here. Shlomo Basu. Who is Eitan Wiener? Here today. What did he say? Okay. Mishulam raps. Mishulam was around. Osha Nemes. Moshe Greenberg. Ari Rakovsky. Your brother of Ariel? Okay. Daniel Weiss. David Buchbinder. Dave, who's this? Bensie Green. What part of the world are you from? Eric Yisrael. Ruben Muller. Moshe Borg. Adam Felsenthal. Daniel Hertz. Then this year. He's alive? Okay. Uriel Rabinovitz. Okay, Yitzi, how do you say your name? Kesak. How do you pronounce it?
Kesak.
Okay. Sariel Malitsky. Josh Rosenfeld. Usually sits in the back. Sits over here. Right, Luke. Eli Melech Rosenthal. Zvi Klein. Aryeh Leibowitz. David Ryback. Oh, that's you? Okay. You're officially a student? Probably not. Okay. Now I have to hand this list into the office. Okay. Yigal Sklarin is here. Edward Rudolph.
Right here.
Okay. Eli Belazon. Yoshua M. Yoshua Wexler. Okay. Steve Kirschenbaum. Yoni Gross. Tansom Cohen. David Mintz. Ranan Amster. Ruby Yarmish. Yisrael Glassberg. Yakir Schechter. Okay. Judah Kay. David Sidney. Jonathan Merrill, Joseph Rosenfeld, Mordechai Turov, Amitai Boff, Gershon Eisenberger. Okay, are there any other people who are supposed to be official students in the shiur? Okay, you want to write your name on the bottom? I'm supposed to hand that list to the office. Good. Anybody else who's not here today? Does the students know they're supposed to be here? Okay, good enough. So we left off on Dalet Amud Aleph in the middle of a discussion of the Machlokes HaTanaim. The Gemara says there is a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Yeshem LaMikro or Yeshem LaMasor. So you follow the way the word is written, or do you follow the way we pronounce the word? Mikro means the way it's pronounced, the Greek. And Masoris is the Ksiv, the Masoretic text. Right. So we got, and there are few nafkiminas halacha lamaisa, whether Yashem Lamikri, Yashem Lamasor. So the Gemara says on next to the last line, on Dalet Amud Aleph, Maskif lo Ravacha by Yaakov. It comes with a kasha. Mi iko de leisle Yashem Lamikro. Is there really an opinion who doesn't, is there a Tana who doesn't believe in following halacha lamaisa, the decree? Then you've got to get stuck. Well, Hatanya, we have a price. It says in the Chumash, Lo Sabashal, Gedi Bachalev, Imo. Bachalev is this Michas of Cholov. You're not allowed to cook Basar Gedi, Basar Gedi, in the Cholov of the mother. Bachalev, Imo is the Cholov of the mother. Yochol Bechele, maybe despite the fact that the Kri is Bachalev, which means Cholov Shel Imo, maybe we should paskin like the Ksiv. And the letters Ches Lamed Beis can spell out Chelas. So maybe there's nothing wrong with Basa B'Cholam. Maybe the only time it's forbidden to do the cooking and the eating, etc., is if you cook meat with the Chelas. Yochel the Chelas. So the Brisa answer is Amr. The answer is Yeshem Lamikro. And there's no other answer given. There's no Machlokes HaTanaim. So doesn't this seem to indicate that everybody agrees Yeshem Lamikro? If you're going to say Yeshem Lamasores, so then the whole institution of Basa B'Cholov is going to be radically changed. You can suggest that maybe the prohibition goes on Basa B'Cholov and there's no prohibition on Basa B'Cholov. So the Gemara says, Ella, maybe the Pshat is Kuli Yamim Shem Lamikro. That's what Maskif Lorav Acha Bayakov. He wants to say that B'Cholov he denies the whole idea that there's a Machlekes Satanayim, whether Yeshem Lamikro or Yeshem Lamasores. The answer is everybody holds Yeshem Lamikro. Everybody holds the Yeshem LaMikro, so you have to go reread everything, all the Machlokes HaTanaim. So we had a Machlokes Rebbe in the Chachomim, where the Dinim Amunis is Bishloisha, Dinim Amunis is Bachamisha. So originally, how do we get involved here in a whole block Gemara, Yeshem LaMikro? What did it have to do with Sanhedrin? Because the Tosefta had a Machlokes Rebbe in the Chachomim, where the Dinim Amunis is Bishloisha, Dinim Amunis is Bachamisha. So the Gemara originally started off that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. It says, "Asher Yashi Un." The word Elohim can mean Loshen Yochid, or the word Elohim can mean Loshen Rabbim. You don't know. You don't know whether it's Yochid or Rab. But because it says Asher Yarshi'un, so you see that it's a plural. So the word Elohim means two Dayarim. And it says in the other passage, Nikabal Baithel Elohim, so there you can't tell whether it's one or two. But since the same word is used, Lamailo Lamato, the same word Elohim appears twice, so just like in the context of the phrase Asher Yarshi'un Elohim, it means a minimum of two, because it's written in the plural, Yarshi'un. So too, Nikabal Baithel Elohim also means two, so two and two is four. Ein Beis Shuffle is five. That's Rebbe's opinion. And then the Gemara says in the Chachamim hold that Yeshem la Masoris. We follow the Ksiv. So since the Ksiv is Yarshion, so Yarshion means one. And Rebbe insists no Yeshem la Mikra. So now the Gemara says that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is now insisting maybe the Kuli Alma, maybe everybody agrees that Yeshem la Mikra. Aye. So what was the original? So we're going to have to reinterpret all the Machlekes. So what was the original machlokes, Rabbi and Rabbanan? No, the Gemara says it's a different machlokes. It says Asher Yarshi'un, the Kri is Yarshi'un, and everybody agrees you follow the Kri. Yarshi'un is plural, so Rabbi says Yarshi'un means two, minimum Mir Rabim Shnai means two. So since this word Elohim means two, so the other word Minikabal Bat Elohim also means two. So Rabbi's opinion we understand. Chachamim hey, yeah. The Chachamim said, yes, of course it means more than one, it means two, because you add up the first dayan with the second dayan. Not that the second word Elohim, Asher Yashin Elohim Yisham Shalom Lerem, the second word already has the connotation of two. It says, V'nika Balabai Se'elu Elohim, and then it says, Asher Yashin Elohim, so you add up Elohim Elohim, so both together are Yashiyun, that's why it says plural. The Hei Chudahai, the one from before and the one from now, that's why it says it in the plural. So the Gemara says you can explain, you can understand the Machlekes Rebbe and the Chachamim without assuming that they're fighting about Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasoris. You can explain that they both agree Yeshem Lamikra, and they still have room to argue. The Rebbe Rabbanim, how come Machlekes? Rebbe Sari Yashin Elohim Achrini. It says before Nikabal Bais Elohim. Now it says Ashir Yashin Elohim. These are separate from the previous. The Nikabal Bais Elohim. This is different Elohim. And here it says plural. So this means a minimum of two. Mir Rabbi Shnayim. So the one before is also a minimum of two. Two and two is four. And the Chachamim say no. The reason why it's written in plural, Yarshiyun, the Hech Dehai, the one mentioned before, the one mentioned now, adds up to two Dayot. Feg the Gemara, Rabbi Yudah ben Roeis said, the Oledes Nekeva is Tama Shvuayim Kenidoso. So the Talmidim, Shualu Talmidim, is Rabbi Yudah ben Roeis. Ekrani Shivim, maybe the Oledes Nekevus Tameo for 70 days. So he finally answered, he chased after them and he said, no, the answer is Yeshem Lamikra. Finished. The Gemara says, nobody disagrees. Perfect. So everybody's masking the Yeshem Lamikra. No machlekes. Rabbi Yudah ben Roeis, La Tliga Rabbanan Ale, no one disagrees. Either was a machlekes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And the Gemara gave a whole interpretation what the machlekes depends on. Karnos, yeah. Whether you follow the Ksiv, you follow the Kri. So the Gemara says, scrap it. That's not what it's based on at all. It's based on a totally different story. That I really would have thought that all of the four Zrikas, I know that you need four Zrikas by a Korban Chatos on each one of the four corners of the Mizbech, it says the Feresh. On all the Karnos on Mizbech. And all the Karnas on Mizbech. How do I know how many Amiyakevs? I really would have thought that all four Amiyakevs. Why would I have thought that all four Amiyakevs? I need Shina Lavakas of Liyakev. I would have thought that the Gemara said, I would have learned that Chutz Mipnim. I would have learned that Chutz Mipnim. On the Paris Social Yom HaKippurim, so the Mishnah says, Matarachas Mehem Yakevs. Each and every Zrik is Me'akim. That's learned out from a pasuk. So I would have learned out a Mamatzinu. I would have learned out just like by the Chatoz HaPnimios, each and every Matane. Chisar Achaz Mimatanez Le'os. But look, Klum, if you're missing one Zrik is no good. So I would have thought that the same is true regarding the Chatoz HaChitzonius. That a Chatoz is more common than all the other Korbanos. So I would have thought that all the four matanas are miyakim. So that's why the Beis Hillel have that. So the burden of proof is on the Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai on both. Beis Shammai say two zrikas are miyakim. And Beis Hillel say that one zrika is miyakim. So they each have to explain. How does he arrive at two zrikas? How does he arrive at one zrika being miyakim? So the Gemara now in the reinterpretation isn't bothering themselves with explaining Beis Shammai. They just explain Beis Hillel. The Gemara says not based on their karnos adding up and subtracting and so on. A totally different shot. I would have thought to learn that chutz mipneim that all the dalad zrikas on the yakev. So that's why it says three times v'chiper. V'chiper means even though you're missing the fourth zrika, then it says the second time v'chiper even though you're missing the third zrika. Then it says the third time v'chiper even though you're missing the second zrika. And all you had was one zrika. So v'chiper is marbe. It's marbe lehokal that the korban chatos is acceptable. It's kosher for the eved, despite the fact that he didn't do all of the zrikas. So that's how Beis Hillel arrives at the conclusion that only one matana is miyakev. It's nothing to do with Yashem Lamikri, Yashem Lamaseris at all. That's how the Gemara is suggesting now. The Gemara says, they're not sure, should you learn at chutz mipnim? Or should you learn nemer domim lemato v'nemer domim lemailo? Maybe I should learn the domim lemailo from domim lemato. What does it mean chutz mipnim? Chutz mipnim means all the korbanos are brought on the mizbeach ha'chitzon, on the mizbeach ha'olam, in the azorah. That's called chutz. And pnim is the mizbeach ha'ktores, that you're not supposed to be makriv anything there other than ktores, unless on special occasions, like on Yom Kippur, the parvis social Yom Kippurim. So you do zrikas on the mizbeach ha'pnim. And once in a long while, when you bring chatos ha'pnimios, parhalam da'o shal tzibur also, so you do the zrikas on the mizbeach ha'pnim. That's a special din of chatos ha'pnim. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, "Mizvachim we have a yalfusa from the psukim, achas chiser achas min matanas leosav lekum. Ano lachatos apnimios, all the matan achas mehem miakev is each and every zrikas adam is ma'akev." So the Gemara says, maybe I should derive chutz mipnim with a mamasin, just like in the chatos apnimios, each zrikas miakev. So to the chatos achitzonios, each zrikas should miakev. So the Gemara says, well, that's on the one hand, and then on the other hand, one can argue the point and say, maybe I should compare a mamatzinu, maybe I should learn out nemer damim lamaylo and nemer damim lamato. Ma damim hamurim lamato, only one zrika is miyakev. So too damim hamurim lamaylo, only one zrika is miyakev. So that's very unclear. What is damim lamaylo and what is damim lamato? So Rashi has three pshat. Rashi writes three pshat. So one pshat Rashi has is nemer damim lamato b'parsha. Later on in the parsha, what's lamato b'parsha? The very next parsha is chatos oif. Next parsha, there's chatos behema and there's chatos oif. Now chatos behema, the Torah says lachatzili should be zorek on all the four karnas on his death. Chatos oif, there isn't even a din lachatzila that you zorek on all the four karnas on his death. You're not zorek. There's no zrika at all. There's no karnas on his death. It's on the kira on his death. There's mitzui, there's hazor, and the kira mizbech, and the wall of the mizbech. The chlalat, there isn't even a din l'chatchila that you need four zrikas on the karnas on mizbech. So that was the havamin of the Gemara. Maybe I should derive chatos lemailo from chatos lemata. Chatos lemailo is chatos behema. Chatos lemata means later on in the parasha, chatos lemata, later on in the parasha is a chatos oif. Maybe I should say, just like by chatos oif, only one zrika is ma'akev. It's a misnomer. It's not really a zrika. It's a mitzu. It's a hazor. So to by the chatos same, maybe only one maton is ma'akev because of chatos lemay lechatos leman. Then Rashi has another pshat, another suggestion. Maybe loshen acher nemer damin lemaylo and nemer damin lemat does mean later in the parsha. Earlier in the parsha it means lemaylo michut hasikra and lemat michut hasikra. And the mizbeach in the mishkan. So the Gemara points out the Gemara Mizbech and the Mishkan, I don't know. The Gemara said the Mizbech and the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara said the Mizbech and the Beis HaMikdash was 10 amas high. The top of the Mizbech, the roof of the Mizbech was 9 amas from the ground. And this is the ground level, so the level of the Mizbeach was 9 amas high. But then there was a block that was an amu al amu al amu, a cube in each one of the four corners. So the top of that, those are the four karnas on Mizbeach. They protruded on top. The whole top of the Mizbeach was very big, a whole square, and in each one of the corners there was a big cube. So the top of the Keren was at the height of 10 amas. Exactly at the point of 5 amas, right smack in the middle of the Mizbeach, was the Chut HaSikra. There was a red line, Sikra is red, that went around the whole Mizbeach, that distinguished, so the Kohanim should know which behemis, which Zrikas Adam they do, the Maila Mechut HaSikra, which I supposed to do the Matam Mechut HaSikra. The din is that the mizbech has to have four kronos on the top and it has a yisoid on the bottom. So the halacha says the kronos are the four cubes on each one of the four corners, and the yisoid is the bottom and the mizbech and the beis hamikdash with 32 amos by 32 amos with concrete and pebbles and all kinds of material. And then when they poured the concrete, it hardens. It became attached to the ground. So it was very hard. So that was 32 amos by 32 amos. And then I think it went up one amma. And then it was indented on all sides, an amma in. So then the mizbeach was no longer 32 by 32. Now it became 30 by 30. Then it went up a couple of amas. Then it was indented again, another amma. Now it became 28 by 28. So the top of the mizbeach was only 28 by 28. So even though, strictly speaking, the yisoid of the mizbech is only the bottom slab of concrete that's 32 by 32 square, and then it's one amma tall, that's called the yisoid. When you do the shvich hashiraim, all the karbon is supposed to pour the yisoid on the mizbech. Nonetheless, the halacha declares that the bottom half of the mizbech, the whole bottom half of the mizbech, from the foot of sikra lamato, is called the yisoid. And the whole upper half of the mizbech is called the kerem. So the halacha distinguishes some karbonis need zrika on the yisoid, and some karbonis need zrika on the keren. So that's lamala mechut ha-sikra, lamata mechut ha-sikra. The whole upper half is really labeled as keren. Even though, strictly speaking, the keren, the karnas ha-mizbech, only refers literally to the four cubes on top that reach the height of 10 amas, from the height of 9 amas to the height of 10 amas. But the whole upper half, for purpose of zrika sadam, is labeled as keren. And the whole bottom half of the mizbech, mechut ha-sikra, lamata, is labeled as yisoy. So which karbonis have zrika lamayla mechut hasik, which have lamato? So in behemis, in the neifis, it's opposite from each other. In behemis, Rashi says the only carbon that has a zrika lamayla mechut hasikra is the chatos, and all the other karbonis have the zrika sadam lamata mechut hasikra. In the neifis, it's the reverse. A chatos oif has the, it's not really zrika, the mitzui that you squeeze out the neck. You don't mekabel the dam of a carbon oif, a oilus oif, a chatos, and not the Kabbalah Dominic Lishers, then you don't do a zvika. You just take the neck of the bird, the term of an ayon, and you squeeze the dam out on the mizbeach. So if it's a chatos oif, then the hazor is done lamata mechut hasikra. And if it's an oilus oif, then it's fakir. Then the oilus oif, the hazor is done lamayla mechut hasikra. The Rashi, in the second shot, Loshan Acher, Rashi learns, Nemedamim lamayla, Nemedamim lamata. He's talking within the category of karbonis behemis. So you have most of the karbonis, the zvika sadam is lamata mechut hasikra. And there everybody agrees only one zvika is makim. And how do you know? Because of the pasuk in Dvarim, dam zvachecha yishofech, shvicha achat b'mashma. Only one zvika is makim. Many of the karbonis only need one zvika to begin with. But even those karbonis that need shtayim shehein arba, that need two zvikas in the two corners that are opposite each other, that the dam should splash. If you throw the dam, splash the dam in this corner, so it's going to splash here and here. If you throw the dam, you take a cup and you throw the dam in this corner, so it's going to splash here and here. So that's considered the zrika sadam on all four sides of the mizbeach. Because when you splash it here, it's spread here and here. You splash it here, it's spread here and here. So all four sides of the mizbeach had a splashing of dam. So that's l'chatchila. But the yevid, we know the din is v'dam zochecha yishofech, shvicha achaz b'mashma. That goes on the damim lamata, and all the karbonis abheima, which the zvika sadam is lamata mechut hasikra. Osham and Ola, and Shlomim and Todo, everything is lamata. The only one and only carbon that's lamata mechut hasikra is chatos. So the Gemara says, why not learn? Why should you learn chutz mipneim? Why should you learn chatos achitzonius? From chatos apnimios, just like chatos apnimios, matan achas mem yakevis. So to chatos achitzonius, matan achas mem yakevis. Maybe I should learn damim lamato and damim lamailo, both on the mizbeach achitzon. And the damim lamato, I know dam zochecha yishofech, only one zrika is likuvus. Maybe chatos where the damim is lamailo, also one zrika is not, only one zrika is not. So that's what the Gemara first raises a possibility. We don't know which should I compare it to. And then Rashi has the third shot. What is it? What's the havam in him? Damim damim lamailo, damim damim lamato. So Rashi has the third suggestion. Rashi has, he says he heard all the three pshatim from his rabbeim. He says he heard all the three pshatim, but he thinks the middle pshat is the best one. Lo shenem tzoyikir. The middle pshat, this was the middle pshat. Damim mailo, damim lamata, lamata mechut hasikra, lamailo mechut hasikra. Yeah, what was the third pshat in Rashi? Loshen Acher, Rashi has a third pshat, Loshen Acher, third pshat, Lemata b'parsha tachtona de vayikra ba'ashomot. Again, Lemaila Lemata means earlier and later, but later, the later, according to the first pshat in Rashi, the later parsha that we want to compare it to, want to learn our Damim Lemaila for Damim Lemata, so the Damim Lamata means Lamata b'parsha, Lahalon b'parsha means Chatos Ois is not fair to learn from there. Because Lahatchila all you need is one Zvika. So what's a Tzushtel to Chatos Behema? Chatos Behema Lahatchila, we know you need four Zvikas. And I might have thought that if they're all Likuva, like you should learn out Chis Mepnim. But what kind of a Tzushtel to learn Damim Lamaila from Damim Lamata? As you learn Chatas Behema B'Yevid, only one Zvika is Likuve. From Chatas Oif, that only one Zvika is Likuve. What are you talking about? Chatas Oif, that's all you need, L'chatchile, is one. There's no din bechlal of Kronos. It's a din on the Kir HaMizbeach. A Mitzuy, a Hazo on the Kir. It's not a Zvika on the Kir. So that's why Rashi is not happy with that pshat, the first pshat. That Lamato is referring to later in the parasha means Chatas Oif. And the third shot, it's along the same lines as the first, but it's a little different twist. Nemer domim lamato, lamato beparsha means all the other karbonis behema. Not the same as lamato michuta sikra. Lamato michuta sikra means all the other karbonis we do, the zrikas adam lamato michuta sikra. So even though lachatchila you need, some of them all you need is one zrika. Some of them all you need, pchor, maisa, pesach, all you need is one zrika. But even though that lachatchila you need two zrikas, shtaim shehen arba, like an oshom. Like the Shlomim, meaning Shtaim Shehin Arba, but still, B'dieved, only one Zvika is Likuvah. So that's Rashi's third shot. Loshen Acher Lamata means Lamata B'Parsha, Tachtoina, the later Parsha in Vayikra, namely, that talks about Ashamas. Yeah. So then Rashi says he thinks that the middle pshat is the best of all. He writes, he heard all the three pshatim from his Rabbi, Kulim Shmaitim Mirabaisa, but he thinks the middle pshat is the best. It's the easiest pshat. So again, so the Gemara says, it's a toss up here. Without, before you get to any special psukim, what would you have thought on your own? What's the svara hachitzoina? What should you think the din ought to be? So the Gemara says, well, on the one hand and on the other hand. On the one hand, maybe I should learn la domim bachut from domim bifnim, that in the chatos apnimius, each zvik is likuva. And on the other hand, maybe I should learn out lamaila from lamato. That all the karbonis that are lamato, either lamato michut asik or lamato beparsha, same thing. Is only one Zvika is Maki B'Yevit, because the Pasuk says Dam Zochach Yishofer. So even over here also, it should also be like that, only one should be Maki. So the Gemara says no. If it's a toss up between these two, so it makes more sense to learn out Chutz Mipnim. So really, Mitzad Asvara Chitzoin, if you don't have any Pasuk to indicate one way or the other, I should have really been led to believe that all the four Zvikas of the Karban Chattas on Maki B'Yevit. That's why Talmud Leimer, that's why I need a pasuk to say against the Svarach Yitzayna. So it says, the Chiper means we're Mekel, we are Machshe, the Karban Chatas, even though there's something missing. Then it says the second time the Chiper, and it says the third time the Chiper. What does it mean three times? So the first time it says the Chiper means we're chiseling down one Zvik at a time. Even though Lachatzkid is supposed to have four Zvikas, but if you only did three and you're missing one, but he added the Korban will be kosher. Then the second time it says Zechiper, even though he only did two Zvikas, he didn't even do three. And then the third time it says Zechiper means even though he only did one Zvika, he didn't even do two Zvikas. So that's where you're left with Shitas Beisilah. That's where Beisilah got their Shita from. It's not an issue of Yeshem Lamikri, Yeshem Lamasur. The Gemara is not suggesting this Amayra, Rav Acha Bayan, maybe there never was a Machlekes Satanoi. He's denying. Maybe there never was a machlek is hatanoim, whether yeshem lamik or yeshem lamasar. The machlek is a different machlek is how do you read the psukim. It's not such a sweeping machlek is whether you follow, everybody agrees you follow the creed. Nobody holds that you follow the creed. The sheet is basil is based on the chip of the chip. Then the Gemara says, what about the machlek of Shimon and the Rabbana by the sukkah? Where there's time to cross and the shlish is after the tefah. What we define as Tilchosim and the Revi is Afil Tefah. So in Omer Aleph we explain that depends on the issue whether Yeshem LaMikro or Yeshem LaMasor. Now the Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. The Oilam, like Rav Acha by Yaakov, says everybody agrees Yeshem LaMikro, you have to follow the Kree. And the Kree is all three times Basukah is Teshu. Because of Yeshua Basukas. He Basukas or Shafta is Mnes. And the same passage, it says the word Basukas three times. So each one is a plural. So everybody holds the indoor shem chizus. So the first time you don't count it. So you're left with four sukkahs. Basukas and basukas, ni yeshem la mikra. So four, so Allah HaMashim Messina chisels down one, so you should be three and a half. It should be sholosh kol chosom, or viz, afi le tefach hakan. That's Reb Shimon holds like that. So hakam the chachamim say, shtayim kol chosom, or shlishis afi le tefach. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Rabbanim, how come if we get different machlekes? Reb Shimon so far, Reb Shimon says, ein darshim tchilis knocks off the first time basukas. Then the second and the third time it says basukas is two and two is four. And then Allah Almighty Messina also Ilchasa Graite, you subtract from the fourth doifen, you kimti a tefach, it's enough with a tefach wide and ten tefachim tall. And the Chachamim says Chacha Boikro, I need from the four sukkahs, it says basukas, basukas twice. So from the four sukkahs, one of them goes to teach me that you need schach. If you don't have any schach, it's no good. And the other three go on the tfanas. Reb Shimon says, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you need schach. That's the definition of the word sukkah. If you don't have any schach, it's not called a sukkah. So that's, the Gemara says, maybe that's the machlekes. Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, salvas kachal aboikra. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you need schach. Rashi says, v'loy skachal amikri sukkah, lo mikari sukkah. That's what the word sukkah means, that you have schach. So therefore, you add up all four sukkahs. You have Allah HaMashem Messina to chisel down on the fourth one, so it's Shalosh Kel Chosom, or Revi'is Afil HaTefer. And the Rabbanim say, Tzchacha Ba'ikro, they need a Pasuk to say that you need Tzchacha. Then, Aiba, we had a Machlekes HaBekiva in the Rabbanim, where the Dam, Revi'is Dam, Abba Mishnei Meisim, is Metame and Atzam, and Aleph, we thought that is the, that's dependent on Machlekes, the Yeshem Lamikul, the Yeshem Lamasas, so Abba HaBayanku is denying the whole thing. He says, there never was a Machlekes, everybody agrees that you follow the Kree. So if everybody agrees, what are they fighting about over there? They're not arguing whether nafshat or nafshat. I call nafshat meis, I call nafshat meis. So the Gemara says, no, maybe it's a different machlokes. Everybody agrees that that the kriya is nafshos, and nafshos means more than one. So Rabbi Akiva says, well, there you have it. I have a reviyas dam habo mishnei meisin, and it's mitarf yachad, so it's mitame. And the Chacham say, no, I'll call nafshos meis, dam from any mason in the world is Matami Revis, and that mace is Matami Revis, and that mace Revis from Shimon is Matami Boyle, a Revis from Reuven is Matami Boyle, a Revis from Levi is Matami Boyle. The first is the Alma. That's how the Rabbanim hold. A lot of times, yeah. A lot of times the Gemara will have that machlokes. What does the plural mean? Same as before, Yashion Elohim means that this word, Elohim, as the connotation of two dayanim? No, Yarshiyun means the hachadehech, the hayadech, this one and the other one together. You have a lot of times this kind of a machlokes. How do you read? How do you translate the words in the pasuk? Yeah.
Why is the pasuk
more mashma? Not more. The Gemara is going to say it's not at all more mashma, but it's a suggestion. Maybe it means chela. Yeah, that's we'll get to that in a minute. The Gemara raised that question. Maybe I can even deher that there's a machlokes hatanam yeshem lamikra yeshem lamasores when you have a contradiction between the kri and the ksiv. The kri implies one way and the ksiv implies the other. But here there is no contradiction. It's the correct spelling. If the correct reading is Bachalevi Mo, and it's a correct spelling. So where do you trachtos? Where do you come off to suggest that it should be Bechelev? If it's spelled one way and it's pronounced a different way, so you got a question over here. How come the ksiv doesn't correspond to the kri? So maybe the halacha, even though you read it, even though the halacha Moshe Messina, Gemara says kri ksiv, it's halacha Moshe Messina, that's the Gemara in the Dorim and Daf Lamaches. Nonetheless, you can say, but the halacha is always gepaskin like the ksiv, not like the kri. But if there's no contradiction between the kri and the ksiv, so why should you make up a new reading? That's what the Gemara suggests. And the Gemara says, no, there's still a machlokes whether you follow the ksiv or the kri. What do you mean when you follow the ksiv? The kri is the ksiv. I don't know. That's the problem that you're raising is a serious problem. The Gemara raises it as a possibility that maybe there is a machlokes kri or ksiv, whether Yeshem or Mikla, Yeshem Lam Sores, but the machlokes only applies in a case where there's a contradiction between the ksiv and the kri. The Gemara says, not true. That's not true. Even when there's no contradiction, there's still a machlokes that sometimes I'm hold Yeshem Lam Sores. What do you mean? You just invent a new, like, Lo Sebashal Gadi Bachalevi Moi. There's nothing wrong with the grammar in the pasuk. There's nothing wrong with the spelling. If the pronunciation is Bachalevi Moi, everything in the pasuk is perfect. So where did they just come off to make a suggestion? Maybe I should say that it's b'chele vimo. It says b'chalei vimo. Why should you? I don't know. Very strange. I don't know. That's what the Gemara says. Nonetheless, it's not true. There's still a machlokes hatanoim, whether yeshem la mikra, yeshem la mesoros, even when there's no contradiction between the kri and the ksiv. Very strange. That's what it says. So far we have the suggestions from Rav Acha by Yaakov. He denies that there ever was a machlokes hatanoim, yeshem la mikra, yeshem la mesoros. So he says, scrap the whole dalet amud aleph, it's all incorrect. That's not what they're fighting about, all these cases. The whole string of, Rabbi Yechon made a whole string of Tanoim, Rebbe and Rabbi Yudah ben Royitz and Rabbi Shammai and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, a whole fantastic imagination. So Rabbi Achavei Yankov said, doesn't know what he's talking about. There never was such a machloek as Tanoim. Everybody agrees that you follow Yeshem la Mikra. Everybody agrees you follow Kri. Then the Gemara says, what is he talking about? He's wrong. Rabbi Achavei Yankov is wrong. Frag the Gemara. With the Kula Yama, Yeshem La Mikra. Is that so? Did everybody agree that Yeshem La Mikra Bahatanya? So the Sevisha Machlek is Hatanayim, whether you follow Yeshem La Mikra or Yeshem La Masaris. How do we establish the fact that you're supposed to have four batim, four compartments in the Baisho Rosh, or four parshias in the Shalyad? So the Gemara has a Machlek is Hatanayim, and it's obvious that one Tana holds Yeshem. The first Tana hold Yeshem La Masoris, you follow the Ksiv, and Rebbe Akiva hold Yeshem La Mikra, you don't follow the Ksiv. So the Gemara says you're right. Eliyolam Pligi, the suggestion of Rav by Yankov is wrong. Everything that it says in Dalan and Aleph is Vehitziko Satsari. Everything is correct, and everything that we just said on our basis is all a Havamina, fleeting Havamina, and we're rejecting it now. Everything he said, Rav by Yankov is wrong, and the Gemara Rav Yechanan is right. So the Gemara says, there is a machlokes hatanoim. But the Gemara still throws in. When is there a machlokes? Because the Gemara said, that sounds like everybody agrees, Yeshem la mikra. So that was the braisa that misled Rav Acha by Yankov to believe that there never was a machlokes for the Yeshem la mikra. So now the Gemara touches up a little bit, and the Gemara says, no, not that there never was a machlokes. There never was a machlokes in a case where there's no conflict between the tree and the ksiv. Lo sevash shekdei b'chalei v'imo, that's the correct spelling. The spelling corresponds to the pronunciation. But then there's no machlokes. That's how the Gemara suggests at this point. But there would be a machlokes whenever there's a conflict between the tree and the ksiv. Ela li'olam pligi v'anim ilikim pligi. When is there an argument? Hechad u'shani kro mi'masoros. When the mikro differs from the masora, from the ksiv. Aval hai, boswashili bachalaidima, chalav chelu, chiadorinin, if the spelling is the same, so therefore, everybody will agree, yeshem la mikra. Fake the Gemara, but that's a wonderful idea. I would have signed along with that too. Then the Gemara says that it's not so. Sapella, the Gemara says it's not true. Fake the Gemara, and Bahare yere yeroi, the chiadorinin, or shalash pamashana, yeroi calls the chucha. What's the correct spelling of the word yeroi? Yud Reish Aleph. In modern Hebrew, in newspapers, maybe you would write it Yud Yud Reish Aleph, because you don't put Nekudas. They want everybody to know that it's a different spelling. So you may spell it Yud Yud Reish Aleph, but that's not really correct. The correct spelling is Yud Reish Aleph. So how come there's a Tana who says that you darshan the ksiv and you establish the din as if the pasuk were read Yireh Kol Zechorcha? If the correct reading is Yeh-Ra'eh, that's the Kri. And the Kri corresponds to the Ksiv. That's the way you write Yeh-Ra'eh, Yud-Reish Aleph-Heh. There's nothing missing, there's nothing misspelled. So why should anybody take a Pasuk and suggest a different reading in a word? That's not the way you lay it. The Halacha Moshe Messina says you lay it Yeh-Ra'eh. So why should anybody come up with an idea and say you follow the Ksiv? What do you mean? But there is no Ksiv or Kri. So the Gemara says, you see that what you said is wrong. You follow the Ksiv even when it's not a contradiction with the Kri, even when there's nothing fishy in the Pasuk, you still have the right to follow the Ksiv. Our Yira Yerodichi Adorinin, the spelling is exactly identical, and nonetheless, Pligi, there is an issue, there is a Machloikas Satanoim. Where do you see a Machloikas Satan? Whether you darshan Yeshem Lamikra, the Tanya Rabbi Yechon ben Dahavoyoimer, Mishum Rabbi Yudah ben Tema, the name of the Tanya Rabbi Yudah ben Tema, Asuma Beinu Achas, Potam in Ariya. if a person is blind in one eye, let alone both eyes, he's patur from being oila larego. Shalosh pamim shana yivai kol zuchur cho. Petach Shavuos, everybody has to visit the Azore and bring an oila sriya. So if someone is blind on one eye, or certainly more so on both eyes, even a Suman Beinachis is patur min ariya. How does this Tana know? And then the Gemara says in the first half in Chagiga, but the Mishnah in Chagiga doesn't agree with Yehuda ben Taboy. Yehuda ben Tema, why? Yochanan ben Taboy. Because the Mishnah says, Hakol Chayovim Beriya. What do you mean, Hakol? Hakol is Lerabbi somebody. So the Gemara says, Hakol is Lerabbi Suma Beino Achas. Deloike Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Deloike Rabbi Yochanan ben Taboy. So the Gemara claims that it's perhaps a machloike satanayim. Whether Sima Bein Achas is Chai Beriyah Birigolim or not Chai Beriyah and Birigolim. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says, Bayas, this is the Nekudas HaMachlekes. But you say, Yeshem La Mikra, or you say, Yeshem La Masoris, that what the Mikra is, Shalosh HaMashana, Yeh-Ra-Eh. That's all, Yeh-Ra-Eh. But if you hold Yeshem La Masoris, then you follow the Ksiv as well. So, and even though there's no conflict between the Kriv and the Ksiv, you still follow the Ksiv, the Gemara says. Even though there's no conflict, you still follow the Ksiv. So since the Ksiv is spelled Yud Reish Aleph Hey, and it is a possibility of reading it Yireh, so this Tana darshins both the Ksiv and the Kriv. Yireh Yireh, Kederach Shabo, just like the Rabbanu Shel Olam is going to look at me with his both eyes. Yireh Ekos Kocha means we should all appear. All the Jewish men should appear in front of the Shechinah. We should all appear in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rabbanu Shalom, we presume that Rabbanu Shalom looks at us and takes a good look at us with both eyes. So too, we should look at the Rabbanu Shalom with both eyes. And that's how you establish the din, that whoever is blind in one eye is Patam and Ari. Just like he looks with both eyes, so too we should look with both eyes. How did the Gemara know that Rabbanu Shalom looks with both eyes? Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have any eyes. What do you mean he looks with both eyes? So there is a Medrash Rabbah on the pasuk in the end of Shir Hashim, Brach Doidi Ad Melech Ol Tzvi Ol Yofu Hayolim, that the deer has two eyes, and when the deer is awake it looks around all over with both eyes, and when the deer is sleeping, says in the Medrash, the deer keeps one eye open, one eye closed. So the Rabbanu Shalom is compared to the deer, that sometimes he looks at the Bnei Yisrael with one eye, sometimes he looks with both eyes. When did you look with one eye, when did you look with both eyes? Both eyes means looking kindly in a shmira meula. He's watching after the Bnei Yisrael. Nothing should chalila happen. Obviously, he's not looking with both eyes now. He's only looking with one eye because the terrible tragedies are occurring. So the Medrash says, when Bnei Yisrael arosim and tzonu shal mokim, then he's like the deer when the deer is awake and he looks with both eyes. And it's a shmira meula. And when we're not arosim and tzonu shal mokim, so then he only looks with one eye. So they have the Nidrush Svarim, they have a kasha in the name of Rabbi Sol Salanter. The Gemara says, I think, in the first parak in Bava Basra, that sometimes in Tanakh, the Rabbanu we are referred to as Bonim, and sometimes we are referred to as Avadim. So when are we referred to as Avadim, when are we referred to as Bonim? So there's a Machlokes HaTanan, Machlokes of Yudin Rameir, I think. The end of the first parak in Kiddushin also, no? So Machlokes HaTanan. So one Tana, the famous answer was given, this is not the accepted answer, but the famous one Tana says his man shoyosim and sonu shalmokim, then they refer to as bonim loshim chiba. When they say shoyosim and sonu shalmokim, then we are referred to as avodim. That's not the generally accepted opinion. The generally accepted opinion is benkach benkach nikru bonim. Even when they're not shoyosim and sonu shalmokim, the Rabbanu Shalom still loves us so much. We're always called bonim, even if we're kicking him and we say he doesn't exist. He's carrying us on his shoulders, like a father holds his son, and they say there is no God. They don't believe in God. So Rabbanu Shalom throws his down. He gets angry a little bit. Okay, Rashi HaChumash gives that, quotes the Marshal, I think. The Psukim give that Marshal. So but there's one Tana says like that, that Bizman Shoshim and Sonu Shambokim, then referred to as Banim. Bizman Shoshim and Sonu Shambokim, then they referred to as Avodim. So Rabbi Sol Salanter made another assumption. So he said, if we are called Avodim, Mistami, the Rabbanu Shalom is called an Adon. And we are called Banim, Mistami, he's called an Av. So if you put these together, so you have Akasha, that the pasuk says the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel Shalosh Gam appears in Chumash three times. So one of the three times says Shalosh Pam Hashanah Yirav Kos Churcha El Pnei HaAdon Hashem. So if it says El Pnei HaAdon, So Adon means that when Reino is a Mitzvah Shamachim, because if he would have been Oisim Mitzvah Shamachim, he would have been an Av and would have been a Bain. If he's an Adon, means we're Avodim, so according to that Tana, that's Ein Oisim Mitzvah Shamachim. If it's Ein Oisim Mitzvah Shamachim, then the Medrash at the end of Shir HaShirim says he only looks with one eye. So how does the Tana say, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at us with two eyes, so do we have to look with both eyes? So if one is blind on one eye, it's Adarabah. The original pasuk is talking about his man she'en oisim mitzvah shamachim. So he only looks with one eye. So the rabbi, the people who are blind in one eye should be mechuyev in aliyah already. That was the kasha of Yisrael Salanz. That was the kasha. So in the Jewish story, man chumish, they give terutzim. They work on faremfering this kasha. That was the kasha that he is. But somehow the Tana is working on the assumption that the psukim, it doesn't make sense to have a pasuk that speaks about his man she'en oisim. The Rebbe Shalom tells us a mitzvah, we should be oil a regel in a fashion of Ein Oisim and Tzana Shemachim. It doesn't make sense to interpret a pasuk like this. And somehow we're going to have to interpret, makes more sense to say the pasuk is going when everything is wonderful, but when Bizban Shem Oisim and Tzana Shemachim. So the Rebbe Shalom loves us and he looks with both eyes. So just like he looks with both eyes, so too we should look with both eyes. How do you translate the words? Kederach Shebo Liris Kach Bo Leira Os. So the simple translation is Kederach Shebol Liras, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Beis HaMikdash to look at the Jewish people with his both eyes, Kach so too the Ribbono Shel Olam comes, Kach Bo Leiraos, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to the Beis HaMikdash to be seen by the Bnei Yisrael with their both eyes, just like he comes to look at us with his both eyes, so too he wants us to be seen. He wants to be seen by us. Kach bo le'ra'os. He wants us to see him with our both eyes. So that's how he knows that Suma Bein Achis is put. Rabbi Natam is not happy with this interpretation. He said, what do you mean the Rebbe Shalom is coming to the Beis HaMikdash? We're coming to the Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe Shalom is always there. That's where he lives. That's Beis Hashem. We're coming to the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Natam drays everything in Fakir. So he says, Kederach shebo le'ra'os. Just like the Ole Regal. Just like the pilgrims come to visit the Beis HaMikdash. Le'ra'os, to be seen by the Ribbono Shel Olam with his both eyes. The same thing bottom line. But the question is, who's coming to see and be seen? Is it the Ribbono Shel Olam is coming to the Beis HaMikdash to see his Jewish people with his both eyes and also to be seen by them with their two eyes? Or does it mean the former comes to be seen by the Shechina with his two eyes and who then becomes to see the Shechina with his own two eyes? Same thing, but the question is who's coming and who's going? Rabbi Natam and the little Tyson, he thinks it makes more sense to say that the farmer is Bor. The Rabbi Shalom is there all the time. The Shechina is always in the Beis HaMikdash. Shechina Tamid the Beis HaMikdash. That's how Tyson quotes Rabbi Natam. Okay. What does it mean that we come to see the Shechina? You can't see the Shechina. Rabbi Shalom is invisible. He doesn't have any body. So there was a big Talmud Chacham who came from Hungary to Eretz Yisrael years ago. Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger was the son-in-law of a Chassidish Rebbe, I think, Rabbi Hillel Kalamaya. So he came, he had a lot of original ideas when he came. He was an original thinker. So one of his chidushim was over here, that even though we are all Tameim and we're not permitted to enter into the Azara, you can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash, but we still have a mitzvah of, you can't call it Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel means to walk into the Azor and to bring the Oilus Riyah. You can't do Aliyah L'Regel, but part of the mitzvah is to look. Kederach Shebo Le'ra'os, Kach Bo Liras. The same way we come to the Beis HaMikdash to be seen by the Shechina, so too we come to see. So what do you come to see? You got to take a look. What are you going to look at? You can't see the Shechina. So he said, you got to look at the Beis HaMikdash. What is there to look at? There's nothing there. Look at the floor. So he came up with this new mitzvah that on Shalosh Regalim, all the men, the women don't have a chiddush. It says Yerah Kozul Korcha. All the Jewish men have to come to the Beis HaMikdash and look at the floor. They stand outside. They stand outside of the Har Bayis. In front of the Kosel Marav on the outside side is outside of the Har Bayis. And they look in to see the floor, the Karka HaAzara. So he had a suffix, he wore glasses. He had a suffix, Ayayot to the mitzvah. With the glasses, and he have to take off the glasses. So he was machmir. He invented his own mitzvah to look at the floor. So he was mefalpal on his new yesh miyayin, on his new mitzvah. So he said, maybe you're only yotze if you take off the glasses and you see Riyah directly. Okay. That's a shot. You say Kiddush Levan if you see the moon through a telescope. You don't really see it. If you don't use a telescope, you don't see the Levan. How come you don't see the Levan? I don't know. Just as far away from you as it is from me. So how come I can see, you can't see? What is it? The Levan is always so far away from you. I don't know. But that's a discussion. What if a person only sees the Levan through a telescope? Is that called Riyah? So that was the suffix that he had. He came up with Sanayin Sval. You have to take off your glasses. Yeah. There is such a Gemara. It is based on something. Gemara says Yira Yira. If the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants to take a good look at us, to stay, you know, but he wants us to take a look at him. He wants Bnei Yisrael to see the Shekhinah. What do you mean see the Shekhinah? He suggests. Rabbi Akiva Shlesinger says that it means we're supposed to look at the floor of the Azra. There is a Gemara though, the end of Chagiga, the last half in Chagiga, the Gemara says that on Sholosh Regalim and the Bayis Rishon, when they still had the Kruvim, the Orem with the Kruvim and the Kodesh HaKadosh, and Bayis Sheni, the Mishnah says they didn't have the Orem with the Kruvim and the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Bayis Rishon they had. So there was a wall that was an Amma thick, a stone wall that was an Amma thick separating between the Hechon and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but there were curtains, there were windows and curtains in the wall. So it says that when the Oyle Regolim came, he used to roll up the curtains so the Oyle Regolim, who were in the outside part of the Azara, would be able to look through the window and see the crew of him hugging each other. And this was to demonstrate to the Oyle Regolim, Ruchi Batchem Lefnei HaMokim, look how the Rabbanu Shalom loves the Jewish people. That the crew of him represent like a man hugging his wife, Kimarish Viliv Yosai. The Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says, like a husband hugging his wife because they love each other. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam loves the Bnei Yisrael. So they used to do this. Every one of the Shalosh Regalim, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokim. And then they would lift up the Shulchan, and then they would show the other Regalim, they would squeeze the Lechem upon him, and they would show, even though it was baked on Friday, it didn't become stale. It was still warm. Lechem Cham Ki Yom Hilokchoi. It was still warm like the minute they took it out of the oven. So the people, the other Regalim, are all over there. It can't come in the inside part of the Azara. It can only go the first 11 Amis, I think, in the Azara. It's Mokum Hiluch Ragle Bnei Yisrael, and after that, it's only as his Kohanim. One of the Kohanim walked there. So they had to lift up the Shulchan and show them, squeeze the Lechem upon it from a distance. So where did they get this idea that they did this in the Bais Rishon? They used to show the Kruvim, and they used to demonstrate the squeeze the Lechem upon it. Where did they get this? Who says that everything is on display? Oyla regularly, come to the base of Migdash, you bring your oilus ri and you get goodbye and you go home. Where does it say that you have to give them a whole demonstration? So Rav Shlomo Levilna wrote that it must be based on this drasha yira yira kederach shabali ra'oz kach bol ira. It's just like the oil regalim come to appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that they come to see something. So what are they going to see? You can't see the Shechina, ein lo guf. So it must be that you show the Oyle Regalim something to demonstrate that the Shechina is here. So one thing they show, what are you supposed to show? Whatever you think will interest them. So the Zman Bayis Rishon, that you could see the Kruvim hugging each other. So they rolled up the curtain in the window and they showed them the Kruvim hugging each other and said, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokim. And then when that was no longer the case, when there was no Oren with the Kruvim, so they showed them, they lifted up the Shulchan and they demonstrated to them the Lechem upon him. That was fresh. And there is what Rabbi Akiva Shlesinger said has a mocker in the Gemara. The Gemara does say Yira Yeroya. Kederach Shabal Leiraos Kach Bol Leiros. The Oyle Regalim, the pilgrims come to appear in front of the Shechina and they come to see something also. But if the Pashtus says they don't come to see the floor, the Kach Azad, there's nothing to see. And furthermore, Bizman Azad, to say that Bizman Azad is a mitzvah to look at the floor, you're standing outside of the Harabais. Standing outside of the Harabais and you're looking in. So what do you accomplish by looking in? I understand if you go in, you should appear in the Azara. When you appear in the Azara, then there's a mitzvah to look around and see things. Look at the Kruvim, and look at the Shulchan, and look at all the other things that are going on based on Mikdash Shvayim. But if you're standing outside, there's still a mitzvah this man. Is that to look and see? To see a based on Mikdash B'chorban, to see the Arabs playing soccer, or selling merchandise there, on the floor of the Azara. What do you gain by seeing that? That's what they were not convinced. Rabbi Kivish Lezmi, half of what he said, Machkim, that's the Gemara. But the other half of what he said is a shaky, that it should apply Bizman Hazet to stand outside and to look inside, to see nothing. See nothing of the base, no remnant of the base of Israel, just to be, just to see Arelim Mevazah and Makam HaMikdash. That doesn't make any sense. This year Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbat. That was a big cause of love. He wanted to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shchol Yisrael Shabbos. This Rabbi Akiva Shlesinger. He had a lot of original ideas. Pashto says there's no Aliyah Leregel. Aliyah Leregel, you're only Yotze if you enter into the Azara. No, we don't have the ability. You can't go into the Azara. Hope to me. And the Rambam writes, you're only Yotze if you enter into the Azara and you bring a Korban Olas Riyah. If you enter and don't bring a Korban Riyah, not only are you not Yotze, the Rambam writes, not only are you not Yotze in the midst of Yerog Kol Zuchurcho, you're also open alive. By us, we know that that's what the law means. That's by us a chiddush that you're not yotze the mitzvah of Yeroi Kol Zechurcha. We usually learn Yeroi Kol Zechurcha. All the Jews should appear. All the Jewish men should appear in the Azor. Then there's another din. Once you go, you should bring a carbon also. What if you went, you didn't bring a carbon? So I would have thought the essay of Yeroi Kol Zechurcha yotze. And you're in violation of the law, says he. So the Rambam assumes that's a double pasha, that that's not correct. And by him, the Chiddush is Saker. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Chagiga, not only if you enter the Azara and you don't bring the Oilos Ria, not only are you not in fulfillment of the essay, that by us, that's a Chiddush. Who says you're not? He says, not only are you not, we even slap on you a law, says he. But that's a double pasha by the Rambam. You're not yet to the essay. So that's a discussion and a commentary on the Rambam. How did he know that that's the Pshat and Chumash? That's how the Rambam understood Pshat and Chumash. So what does the Gemara come to the conclusion? This Rav Acha Bar Yankiv attempted to say a shtikl Torah. They knocked them down. They bopped them over the head. He wanted to say there never was a machloikah satanoim whether Yeshem or Mikveh Yeshem. So he gave him over the head. He's not right. Then we tried to salvage part of what he said. And this really should have made sense, but they rejected this also. Maybe the only time there's a machlokes naniach, there is a machlokes hatanaim when you have a kri ksiv, when there's a contradiction between the kri and ksiv. But when there's no contradiction, it's written the way it's pronounced. What do you mean you're going to give a new suggested reading in the pasuk which is clearly not the accepted reading, and you're going to be kaver aloha based on your new suggestion? Well, would you come off to make a new suggestion? There's nothing wrong with the pasuk the way it says. Mar says no. Even in a case where there's lo shani kro, there's no distinction between the kri and the ksiv, it's still a machloikas satanan, whether yeshem la mikri or yeshem la masav. That's what the Gemara says. So what does it happen to mean? What do you mean? You invent whatever reading you want. We don't know what it means. So now the Gemara says, so wait a minute. If so, so what are you left with the basa b'cholo? Lo yisavashu v'di b'chalei v'imo, according to the kri b'chalei is the smichas of cholo. So that's the din of basa b'cholo. So the Gemara says, "Havamin in the brisa yochol bechelef." Maybe since I can read the word bechelef, you're not allowed to read it like that. In Kriyas HaTorah, you're not yotze. You have to pronounce it bachalef. But maybe since the word, the letters test lamed base can spell chelef, maybe I should establish the halacha based on iksiv that it's only osir basa bechelef and basa bechelef is mutter. So the Gemara said the only answer that was given was Amad Yeshem La Mikra, top line. So but we said there's a machlek de satanoi. So those tanoim who are going to say Yeshem La Masoros, what are we going to do with the pasuk? So of the Gemara, the last three lines, Elo Ma'avach Beid Ravika, Ma'avach Bayankev, we demolished him, we bumped him off. He's wrong. Gave him a heart attack and he's gone, buried. Ma'avach Beid Ravika says a different reason why you don't necessarily have to subscribe to what it said here. One Tana says Yeshem La Mikra, but there are other Tana who say Yeshem La Masores. So why can't you say that Basa B'chelev? Only Basa B'chelev is awesome, Basa B'chelev is Mutter. And where it says no, since it says Lo Sevashel Gedi, Derech Bishol Asar Torah, so that's how I know on my own that it has to be Cholev and it can't be Chelev. Because Derech Bishol Asar Torah. What does that mean? Here, Rashi and Tosfos have two ways to translate the words of the Gemara. So Rashi says that when you're cooking flesh with chelev, meat with chelev, what you're doing is that you're frying it. That's tigun. So that's not called bishul. Vishal means if you have a lot of liquid, but if you're doing tigun, so that's not the chumash. If the halacha really applies to basa b'chelav, doesn't really apply to basa b'chalav, so the verb in the chumash should have been, instead of lo tabashel, should have said lo tigun. It should have used a different verb, tigun. But since it says tabashel, it's a raya that we're talking about basa b'chalav and not basa b'chelav. So some achrayim want to say, based on the Rashi, what's taket the din halacha l'maisa? If you fry the meat with butter, they're going to say it's only basar b'chalav d'rabbanan. Basar b'chalav d'rabbanan, it said, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch is muta b'bishon and muta b'anor, it's only asa b'achila. Basar b'chalav d'raisa has three parts to the prohibition, asa b'bishon, asa b'achila, asa b'anor. And basar b'chalav d'rabbanan, let's say chicken and butter, chicken and milk. So it's muta to cook and it's muta b'anor, it's just asa to eat it. It's only asa b'achila. So what do you talk to say? If they fried meat with butter, it's only basar b'chalav d'rabbanan because it's tigun. Only derech bishul or sotur, whatever is not derech bishul is only awesome in the rabbanon, and tigun is not bishul. The Gemara says they're two different things. So some achrenim talk to say so based on this. The achrenim in the back of the Gemara they have it, and in simin pei zayin and yeriday they have this discussion. Beginning of simin pei zayin, that's the first simin on basa b'cholam. So some achrenim talk to say based on the Rashi that if you did tigun, you fry the meat with butter, it'll only be basa b'cholam the rabbanon. It's muta b'bishul and muta b'anot. It's only awesome b'achim. And others disagree. They say, nah, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi is explaining over here, if you're going to tell me that there's no din of basa b'cholav at all, there's only a din of basa b'chelav, because you want to follow Yeshem la'masoris, you don't want to follow Yeshem la'mikra, so the original din in the Chumash is only talking about meat with fried and fat. Basa b'chelav. So then the Chumash shouldn't have used the verb bishul, it should have used the verb tigun. But once you say the pasuk is talking about basa b'chalav, so it makes good sense why it says tevashel, so tigun is also b'chalav bishul. Tigun is also included in bishul. It's not that different from bishul. What's the difference? Whether you're cooking meat in milk or you're frying meat in butter. The same thing, meat and milk. It's basa b'chalav d'raisa. Gemara's argument only was, if the original pasuk only goes on basa b'chelav, it doesn't go at all on basa b'chalav. So why did it use this verb bishul? It should have used a different verb. But if you say no, it goes on basa b'chalav, but frying meat and butter is also included because tikkun is b'chalav bishul. So that's a machlekes achrayim, whether based on this Rashi, you see that if you did tikkun of meat with butter, you fried meat with butter, does that lead you necessarily to believe that that's only the rabban? The pashtus is that it's derech. That's how Rashi reads. Then Tosfos has a problem with this, that there is a different Gemara where the Gemara says Mstachim that the word Bishul includes Tigun. The word Bishul does include Tigun. So what all of a sudden over here we say Bishul does not include Tigun? Okay. Problem. So Tosfos gives a Yishan. Then he says Yesh Mefarshim. Tosfos gives another pshat. Derech Bishul Asra Torah in the Gemara, the last line on Dalet on the base, the Gemara didn't mean to say Bishul as opposed to Tigun. That's not the Kavanah of Gemara. That if the din is that only Basa B'chelav is awesome, Basa B'chelav is Mutter, it should have said a different verb, it should have said Tigun instead of Bishul. That's how Rashi learned. The Taisa says, no, it doesn't mean that. Derech Bishul Asra Torah has a different meaning. What it means is that the mashmois of the pasuk is that each one by itself is muta. The basar is muta, and the cheslam and base is muta. And when you combine the two together, then it becomes asa. So if you say basar b'cholav, cholavakum is muta. Okay, with the rabbanon. But milk, there is such a thing. There exists kosher milk. Cholav trefa is asa. Okay, sometimes the animal is a trefa, so the cholav is asa. But there does exist such a thing. It's kosher milk. The Gemara raises the possibility in the beginning of Chorus. Gemara raises a suggestion: maybe all the milk in the world should be also b'achila because it's yotzei min aser rasa. Because live animals are non-kosher. All animals before you shef them are non-kosher. So the milk should be yotzei min aser. Should be also like milk that comes from a pig is also because yotzei min aser. So behemah b'chaya b'ches kesisa emetis. The animal while it's walking around is also to eat. Whatever the yisur, it's also to eat. It's all milk that comes from a living animal should be also. The Gemara says it can't be. The Rabbanu Shalom praised Eretz Yisrael as the Eretz of Cholav Dvash. I wouldn't praise Eretz Yisrael if it's trace. Obviously, the Dvash is mut and the Cholav is also mut. the chalav is mutter. The Gemara said, that pasuk, that chalav is mutter. So the Gemara, that's what Tosfos interprets. The Gemara said, the mashmaos of the pasuk is that the basar alone is mutter and the ches lamed beis is mutter. Only when you combine the two, that creates a new issur. The combination creates a new issur. If you say it goes on basar b'cholav, as we assume in Shulchan Aruch, so the cholav is muta and the basar is muta. Talking about muta dika cholav. But if you say it goes on basar b'chelav, so chelav is the chasav achilah. So that's not derech bishalah satur. The mashmos of the pasuk is only because you cook the two together, the two of them together, the combination makes it awesome. But if you're talking about basar b'chelav, so chelav is always awesome. That's the pshat that Tosfos says. So Rabbi Kevega has his kasha over here. Rabbi Kevega has the kasha on the bottom of the page, and the Gilyan Hashas, who says there are different fats in the animal. Some of the fats are us and some of the fats are mutter. So we in the Gemara, we call those that are mutter, we call shuman, and those that are also we call chelev. So Rabbi Kevega says that's only rabbinic language, but he says in biblical Hebrew all the fat is called chelev. That's what he claims. He says even the chelev that's kosher is also called chelev. This is chelev that's kosher and this is chelev that's non-kosher. So he says maybe basa b'chelev is the yisur derech bishul. It's talking about cooking the meat together with the kosher chelev. That's only also because of the combination. If not for the combination, the chelev would have been mutter, the kosher chelev, and the basa would have been mutter. Because of the combination, that's why it's also. So the way it's usually assumed is not, that's Rabbi Kevega is, the way it's usually assumed is that it's not so, that the kosher fatty parts of the animal are called shuman. We assume that in biblical Hebrew, the word chelev only applies to the chelev that's also b'achila. The chelev that's muta b'achila is not called chelev. It's called shuman. It's known by a different name. Rabbi Kevega assumes that in biblical Hebrew they're both called chelev. And it's only rabbinic and Talmudic terminology that we call the kosher fatty parts shuman and the non-kosher parts chelev. So based on his assumption, hatakash, it's usually assumed otherwise, that in biblical Hebrew that's the correct terminology, that the kosher fats are not called chelev. Then Tosfos has a kasha napshat on the yesh mefarshim who say darf yishlasat tamim. Only the combination of the two creates the prohibition. But each one by itself is really mutter. That's mashmos of the psukim. So yes, the kasha, there is a Gemara in Kulin, which discusses cooking hamavashel, let's say, bisar nevela with milk. Bisar nevela cooked with milk. In America, they have all the dog food. A lot of the dog food that they sell in the stores, all the pet food, is basar b'chalav. They have nevela meat that's cooked with milk. So the question is it basar b'chalav, the rice and the tasa b'hanoah, so you're not allowed to feed it to your dogs? Or is it only not basar b'chalav, the rice? Maybe it's basar b'chalav, the rabbanon, whatever. So maybe it's muta b'hanoah, that's the question. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara. The Gemara talks about hamavashel mesa nevela with milk. Or what's it then if you cook chelev with milk? Chelev is also flesh. What's it then if you cook it? But the chelev is already traced before you start cooking. So there are three prohibitions. There's an isa bishul, there's an etzah, we assume there's an isa bishul, there's an isa achila, there's an isa hano. Under normal circumstances, there are three prohibitions. So the Gemara says like this: if I'm going to cook chelev with milk, chelev alone you're allowed to cook, the milk alone you're allowed to cook. Chelev and milk together is basar b'chalav. The chelev is the flesh. It's the fatty part of the animal. So to cook chelev with milk for sure is an isa derais. You get malchus for the bishul. The only shaila is what if you eat it? If you eat it, so you're right on the lava of chelev. Is the lava basar b'chalav chal on top of the lava of chelev or not? So that depends on a machlekes hatanayim, whether you say isa chal al isa. So the Gemara says in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, that's in Perikol HaBasar, Tosfos quotes in the last two lines in the bottom Tosfos, there is a machlokes hatanayim, whether Isa Chal Al Isa, Arein Isa Chal Al Isa. So if you hold Ein Isa Chal Al Isa, the Isa Basar B'chalav will not be superimposed on top of the Isa Chelev. The Chelev was already also before you cooked it with the milk. It wasn't also, the Chelev was not also to cook, you can cook chalav all you want. So to cook chalav with milk, that's an isa deraisa for sure. For that, you get malchus on the bishul. But on the achila, whether you get an additional malchus for eating the chalav, mitam basa b'chalav, so the Gemara says that depends on isa chalalis. So let's say we pass kenen isa chalalis. So the isa basa b'chalav is not superimposed on top of the iser chalav. So what about hanor? What about hanor? Chalav is mutabano. That's the pasuk. The chalav nevela, the chalav trefo yeyosa l'chol malochim. It's mutabano. But basa b'chalav is also mano. So basa b'chalav should certainly be chal on top of the isa chalav vis-a-vis hanor. That's isa chal al hefer. It wasn't yet also mano. When it was only in the state of chalav, it was mutabano. And now that it's in the state of basa b'chalav, it should be also mano. So that should be isa chal al heter. So that's a question. That's a dogma mervavo on Yeridei and Sunim Pezan. Dogma mervavo are the comments of the Nori Bihuda on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Every 10 pages they have a dogma mervavo. It doesn't have so much. There's very little on Yeridei. That's Chubas Nori Bihuda. He says whatever he wants to say. But on the margin they have very little. So there's such a, the dogma mervavo on Sunim Pezan points out that there's a machlekes, the Rambam and Tosfos on this point. Does it make sense to say that the Isa Hanoa Basa B'chalav is Chal, even though the Isa Achila is not Chal? The Isa Achila can't be Chal because ain't Isa Chal al Isa. The Chalav is very also Achila. So the Rambam writes an interesting point. The Rambam in his commentary on Mishnah is Krisis, in the Pirush on Mishnah is Krisis, which was written in Arabic after the Rambam's 49% of the Rambam's writings were written in Arabic. 49% were written in Hebrew and 2% were written in Aramaic. So a little bit that was written in Aramaic, like the Yad Ramah, not like the Rashbo, not like Rabbeinu Akiva, written in Talmudic Aramaic. So the Pirush HaMishnah was written in Arabic and it was translated into Hebrew. So every so often the Rambam will write in the Arabic, there's an interesting point over here. So the one who translates it writes, there's an Ikud in the floor. So one of the Nekudas, what a Nekud in the floor is, this famous Nekud in the floor of the Rambam. He has it a few times, this expression in the Pirush HaMishnah. That's how he translated this interesting point that the Rambam says. So there's a famous Nekud in the floor of the Rambam on Maseches Krisus in the Pirush HaMishnah, where he brings out this idea. He says, to say that Basa B'chalav is Asa B'hanor means it's Basa B'chalav and it's Asa B'achila, and not only is it Asa B'achila, it's even Asa B'hanor. But you can't start with an Isa HaNor. If the thing is chalav already, and you say ein bishalach, you say ein isa chalal isa, isa basal chalav cannot be superimposed on top of the isa chalav vis-a-vis achila. With respect to bishul, it's isa chalal heter. It's permissible to cook chalav. There's no aver if you cook chalav. So certainly, clearly, forbidden to cook chalav with milk. Malasha chalav b'chalav, that's for sure malchus deraisa. That everybody agrees. That's the Gemara. But the shayla is not if you eat the chalav b'chalav. So if you eat it, you get malchus because of chalav. Do you get a second time as malchus? Do you get a second time malchus because of basa b'chalav or not? So we pass like the Tana, ain isa chalal isa. The isa achila cannot be, basa b'chalav cannot be superimposed on top of the isa achila of the chalav. So then the Rambam says his interesting point that he could in the floor. If there is no isa achila basa b'chalav, where are you going to get yesh me'ayin and isa hanor? Isa hanor means it belongs to that category of macholas asiras that are not only asabahil, it's even asabahil. But if you don't get the first base, you can't make a home run. You got to first have an isa achila. On top of the isa achila, you expand it, you make an isa hanor. So the Rambam sounds like he says that hamvashal chala b'chela, there's no isa achila, there's no isa hanor at all. And Tosfos in Chulin explains why it's not so. Tosfos explains why it is chal, why the isa hanor is chal. So the Dogam of Rava presents it that this seems to be a machlokes, the Rambam and the Tosfos. So he talks lalach, let's say, about the dog food that they sell in New York. They have nevela meat that's cooked in milk. So he says, according to Tosfos, it's also banor, so you're not allowed to feed it to the dogs. According to the Rambam, he thinks that it should be muta banor. So he says that you should be choshish for Tosfos shita, that it's also banor. But he says if you have a big shas hatchak, then there's whom to rely on. You can rely on the Rambam that there's no Isar Anor, because of the Rambam's Nekud in the floor. And then the Darki Tshuva there, in Simon Pei Zayin, quotes the Prima Godim and many other achrayim on the right on that simon, on the daf and simon pei zayin, they all disagree with the dogma of Avah. They say he misunderstood the Rambam, and it's not so. The Rambam doesn't disagree with Tosfos, and there would be an Issa Hanor. So everybody would agree. Even Shas HaTzak, there's no one to rely on. Everyone would agree that there is an Issa Hanor. So Tosfos here raises an objection. Tosfos has an objection against the Yesh Mefarshim. The Yesh Mefarshim, Rashi learns, Darach Bishul HaSitar means Bishul as opposed to Tigun. So if you're telling me that the din is the halacha is basa b'chela, basa b'chalav is muta, only basa b'chelav is aser. So why does it say loisa b'ashel? It should have used a different verb. It should have used the verb of tigun as opposed to the verb of bishul. That's why Rashi learns. And Tosfos learns a different shot. Yesh mefarshim that der bishul aser means that mashmoy says that each of the two components of the iser, each one b'fnei atzmo is muta, but the combination aser. So if it's basa b'chalav, each one is muta, the combination not. But if it's basa b'chelev, then the chelev is already also. So Tosfos picks on that. The kasha lefizeh, Tosfos has a kasha. The Gemara talks about cooking nevela b'chalav or chelev b'chalav. So Tosfos has a kasha, but the nevela and the chelev is also anyway. And derech bishul asatar means each one is mutter, and only the combination of the two together creates an issa. So how can the Gemara talk? If not for getting involved in the issue of Issa Chalal Iser, there would have been no problems. There would have been Lo Tzarech Kro. The Gemara says, Cholov, Chelov and Mesa Lo Tzarech Kro. I don't even need a pasuk to say. It's elementary. Of course there's a din of basa b'cholov if you cook nevela with milk, or if you cook chelov with milk. So he says, how can it be? But it's not Derech Bishul Asitar. Derech Bishul means each one b'fnei atzmo is mutter, and only the combination asa. So the Yolam, the same answer we gave, the same comment the Achreinim made on the Rashi, can make on Tosfos. The Achreinim had a machlokes, if they read the Rashi, would you pass on Halacha L'maaseh that meat that was fried in butter was only basa b'cholav, rabbanan, muta b'no? But he said, no, it's bishul deraisa. Some Achreinim said, that's what Rashi said, that tigun is not called bishul, it's only the rabbanan. And others said, no, Rashi is going within the havamin of the Gemara, according to the havamin that there is no din b'chlal of basa b'cholav, it's only din of Abasa Bechelev. So the whole din in the Chumash is talking about Tikkun. So why does it say Bishul? The fact that the Chumash uses that verb shows that that's not, the Chumash is not talking about Abasa Bechelev, it's talking about Abasa Bechelev. But now that you establish, we know in your day it's talking about Abasa Bechelev. So if you fry meat to milk, that is Abasa Bechelev. Aye, but you fried it, so what? The original pasuk talks about Bishul, cooking it with milk, and what did not mean frying is also Tikkun is Bechelev Bishul. Rashi only meant to say, if you're going to tell me the original din is only talking about basa b'chelev, so it doesn't make sense to use this verb. But once you know it's talking about basa b'cholav, so tigun is included in bishul. So the same thing with the yesh mefarshim and tesis. Yesh mefarshim said, derech bishul asatar, the simple mashmos of the pasuk is that A and B, each one with the atom is mutter, the combination makes it us. So that's how we establish the fact that the pasuk is talking about basa b'cholav, is not talking about basa b'chelev. So we know it's basa b'cholav. Fine, so it's basa b'cholav. So if you have nevela meat, it happens that it's also. That was just in order to establish what's the pasuk pshat and the pasuk. Once you know the pshat, so the Gemara says, "Lot tzricha kro." I don't need a pasuk to say that basa b'cholav even applies. That I'm cooking chelev with milk, I'm cooking nevela with milk. That's flesh and that's milchik. The flesh is the milchik. It's also. It doesn't mean that in each and every case of basa b'cholav it has to be that each one b'fniyatz is muta and only the combination. That's the mashmoes to establish what the pshuto shel mikra is talking about. But once you know that it's talking about basa b'chalav, also included with B. If it's nevela, also included with B. If it's chela. But Tosfos asks it as a kasha. Kasha lefizeh, the Gemara says lo tzricha kro. Of course lo tzricha kro. So it's not such an overwhelming kasha. The world doesn't come to an end with the kasha that Tosfos says. Yesh mefarshim hold on. Yesh mefarshim hold is not a kasha. Tosfos held him as a kasha. Yesh mefarshim are not so excited about it. Yeah. Even though it's broiling. Yeah, that is a problem. Yeah, that is a problem. Why does it say Mishalta Yachalta? It says that from Pesach you cook it, and you Bedafke do not cook it. You only broil it. That the Gemara does have trouble with. Here, the Pasuk Abasa B'chala goes on cooking, and it also goes on frying, and it also goes on broiling. But it also goes on cooking, but over there it only goes on broiling. So why does the Taka say Mishalta Yachalta? Says you should cook your carbon pesach. So Gemara Nedarim works on that. Why is that so? Okay, we're up to Tana Rabbanon. Okay, believe me, maybe tomorrow is Thursday. Should we do some more Gemara? We should do Parshas HaShavua. Do some, a little Kisava. Okay. So believe me, Sunday morning, regular time, we'll start Tana Rabbanon. Famous Rashi and Taisus here in the first half. Okay.